It's something we already kind of knew, but man, it sucks to be a running back. Because I feel like if you're Derrick Henry, like you feel like you should be the one who gets paid. Like after the, if you can't get paid after the performance you had this last year, you would have to feel pretty helpless to be a running back unless you are just someone who is going to be a guy who catches passes a lot, right? Like, turns out that's what you got to do. The regular running backs, as we know them, aren't going to be valued properly moving forward. And I wonder, like, if the timeline was different and we were 2 years removed, would the Cowboys have still paid Zeke the way they paid him? Like, I wonder if he's done enough in Dallas to make them feel like, hey, you're worth the money. Good job.
They can't even seem to work a deal out for their quarterback. Yet they gave him all that money.
Well, Zeke made it into the season holding out, right? Like, Zeke used his leverage. Dak didn't use his leverage. Derrick Henry didn't use his leverage. Because now, once Derrick Henry signed the franchise tag, he pretty much lost his leverage. And I don't know what the in the locker room feelings are going to be. I don't know how Derrick Henry feels. Because the Titans, Cody, at every turn kept saying, hey, we're going to get a deal done with Derrick Henry. We want to do a long-term deal. We want to give him a contract.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if Derrick Henry, in good faith, signed this franchise tag saying, I trust in these guys. We'll get it done. I don't want to be a distraction because, I mean, Derrick Henry's never been a distraction. I mean, he comes from the Alabama model where you just come in, do your job, trust the process, that type of thing.
Just put your hard hat on and grab your lunch pail and you go.
Yeah, basically.
You go, and then, you know, sometimes you get hit by a beam.
Sometimes you get hit by a beam, but it's a good thing you have the hat on.
Right.
That's why you got the hard hat on.
Sometimes you are the beam.
Sometimes you are the beam in Derrick Henry's.
And that's Derrick Henry most of the time.
So, I don't know how he feels today. I don't know if he feels misled. I don't know if he feels like he was taken advantage of or what. But the Titans kept saying, hey, we are going to work out a long-term deal. We're gonna pay you. And then a pandemic happens and the money becomes a question. And now they're like, guess we're not getting that done. And a lot of people will say, hey, it's a smart thing to do. You don't pay running backs. Because if you go down the list of running backs who have been paid, there's not a lot of winning that follows it.
Just a whole lot of torn ACLs.
Just a whole lot of torn ACLs or guys being a little bit less explosive. And when you're a little bit less explosive at that price tag, it's a bad deal. And like I said, I wonder if the Cowboys, how they feel about Ezekiel Elliott. I can imagine how the New York Jets feel about Le'Veon Bell, right?
Yeah.
I can imagine that they're not looking around saying, oh, we got a bargain.
They've made a lot of bad moves over the years.
Yeah, they're probably regretting a whole bunch of stuff, but paying Le'Veon Bell, I would say, is on that as well.
Where do you rank running backs in terms of worst jobs you can have?
I mean, in terms of just in America, I mean, it's still low because, you mean, Derrick Henry is going to make $10 million next year. But in sports,
NFL.
No, I mean, yeah. In the NFL, the NFL aside, like in all of sports, is probably the worst.
Yeah, I mean, it's ahead of, like, Dollar General cash.
Yeah.
You know,
but, like, in the landscape of
maybe
sports.
Maybe not far. Those people seem happy.
No CTE.
They have good benefits, I think. I think they're better than Dollar Trees.
Dollar Trees, is it still around?
I don't know. I just when
I know the Dollar General's popping up. I mean, they pop up.
Dollar Tree's still around.
Okay. I was going to say, that's a scam, though. I see a new Dollar General almost every time I hit the road. Those things are popping up, still multiplying.
Dollar Tree's kind of a scam. It used to say everything for a dollar, you know, and you go in there.
I thought that's what separated them from Dollar General.
Well, yeah, me too. But, yeah, but you go in there now, and it's like you can get like, you know, some things are a dollar. You know, you can get like a bag of those toy soldiers for a dollar, those plastic soldiers.
Sure.
Or you can get like an off-brand candy bar for a dollar. But now they've raised the prices on the stuff.
You got to.
Some things are $2 now.
Maybe they should be the $2 tree.
Like if you want a bag of cat food, that's going to be at least $3 to $4. Go ahead, Cam. Make your joke. Go ahead. Come on. Hit me. Where's your one-liner?
I'm going to leave you and cat food alone.
If you want the wet, it's even more expensive.
And you look at the upcoming free agent class of 2021, and basically it's going to be full of people who are going to want to get paid, and it's going to be full of talent, and I don't know who all is getting paid. Have you seen the list of free agents in 2021 for running backs? Because if I'm Derrick Henry, I'm pissed that, like, that's what's making me mad is, like, you're not paying me and you're going to send me out into this market. Let me just read you the names who are free agents in 2021 at the running back position.
All right.
Okay, we'll start with, I guess we'll start at the top.
I'll try to match them to the teams.
On where they're going to sign or where they're at?
On where they're at.
Oh, I'd hope you'd be able to
get
where they're all at.
Clinton Portis on there?
Clinton Portis is not on here.
All right, hot start.
All right, let's start with Marlon Mack.
Colts.
Tariq Cohen.
Bears.
That would have been really embarrassing if you didn't get that one.
They're like my third favorite
team. James White.
Well, he was with the Patriots.
He's still with the Patriots.
Okay.
Kareem Hunt.
Browns.
Philip Lindsay.
Broncos.
Matt Breida.
Chargers. No. Matt Breida. San Francisco.
Yeah, but I think he got traded, right? Didn't he? Isn't he the one that got? Didn't he get traded?
Yes.
Didn't he get traded to the Dolphins?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Matt Breida, James Conner.
Is he related to the people from the Breida filter?
I don't. It's the water. EIDA, not I. Oh. Yeah. James Conner,
Pittsburgh.
Leonard Fournette,
Jacksonville.
Todd Gurley.
Where did he go? Did he go Falcons, right? Yeah.
He did.
Kenyon Drake.
He was with the Dolphins. I don't know where he's at now.
You don't know?
Kenyon Drake?
I mean, we know where he's at.
Where the hell is he at? Cam, give me a city.
No.
Give me a city.
I'll give you 5 seconds.
I don't know.
NFC. I'll give you NFC.
Arizona Cardinals.
That's what I was going to say.
No, it wasn't. Joe Mixon? You still playing the game or you give up?
Joe Mixon?
Yeah.
Bengals.
Aaron Jones?
Packers.
Alvin Kamara?
Saints.
Dalvin Cook?
Vikings. That's a hell of a running back class.
Derrick Henry. Yeah. No, I mean, like, basically, that's half the league starters.
That
like,
is,
every one of those guys is a starter or at least a really good guy. Like, Kareem Hunt's, I guess, not technically the starter in Cleveland, but he is a starting caliber running back.
Maybe that's what the Titans are thinking.
Well, yeah. And if I'm Derrick Henry, I'm pissed off about that because, like, you're sending me out with no security in a crowded free agency class in a league where they don't pay running backs, where we're going to be lucky to get an $8 million deal.
No loyalty.
It's tough, man. It's tough. And like I said, I don't know how it's playing in the locker room, but I would imagine that the players in that locker room in Tennessee know that Derrick Henry is the reason that they went as deep into the playoffs as they did. Like, I've seen some Titans fans making it an argument between Tannehill and Henry. I don't think that's the route to go because I think both are important because, I mean, like, Derrick Henry wasn't doing that with Marcus Mariota. At the beginning of the year, the team wasn't winning with just Derrick Henry riding him. So, like, I'm not going to make it a Mariota versus Tannehill thing, and, like, you're going to pay the quarterback more. I get that just because, you know, quarterbacks, we know that that's where the value is in the NFL. But I know in the locker room, they know that Derrick Henry is the face of the franchise on the field. I've talked about it before. Like, when you go to Titans games, especially on the road, they're not chanting, like, go Titans, go, or anything like that. They're just chanting Henry. Henry, Henry, like that was the chance in New England. Those were the chance in Baltimore. Like that, those are the ones. That's what you're screaming. That's what the fans are latching onto. And now you're at a real impasse, a turning point where you don't know if this is the last year. And every time now, when you ask Derrick Henry, "Hey, you're hot. Let's ride you. Here's 30 carries for 200 yards." If you're Derrick Henry, do you just do it and say yes, sir? You're like, "Hey, man, like." I remember what the Cowboys did to DeMarco Murray. I don't really want you to ride me into the ground with another 300-something touch season and then send me out to free agency without paying me, and now people are going to look at me as if I'm done. Like, Derrick Henry hasn't really had any injury history, and he is kind of a physical specimen. Not kind of. He is a physical specimen at the position, but, like, he's one bad hit this year from losing a lot of leverage and a lot of money.
I do think they're going to try and run him into the ground a little bit. I mean,
maybe not. I mean, maybe they drafted that running back in the third round to try to give, you know, a running back out there that can, you know, touch the ball 10 times a game, whereas Deion Lewis couldn't touch the ball 10 times a game. Maybe the new Appalachian State running back will come in and be able to do that. But still, if you're Henry, like, I feel less good about carrying the ball 30 times if I'm asked to do it this year.
I would be worried about him ending up like the former King Henry. Maybe not to the level that Eddie Lacy.
What number?
Maybe not to the level Eddie Lacy did, but
what number are we talking about?
Henry VIII, the most famous King Henry.
There'd be seven before him.
Well, I understand that. That's what I was asking. But Henry VIII was the famous King Henry, the one that people know when you talk about King Henry. And you want to know how...
Is he the sun god?
No, but he did have...
One of the King Henrys the sun god?
I'm not sure. He did have six marriages, though. But I was trying to see what Derrick Henry's fate...
The sun king... Oh, maybe that was Louis. That was Louis the 14th. Never mind.
Well, you want to know how...
The other seven Henrys did anything?
Henry
VIII is the one that, you know, he's one of the more important men in history when you consider that, you know, he led to Bloody Mary and her reign of terror and just all that stuff.
Well, his reign ended when he became obese and the leg wound from a jousting accident became ulcerated. So I'm just thinking about fates and King Henry's, and I'm a little worried about Derrick Henry.
Sure.
He could have a similar fate. He's got a big frame.
I think he's going to get obese, at least while he's playing. Like, I mean, he has
a leg wound.
Maybe eventually he will not want to work out at that level he works out now. But, no, I mean, it's possible that the leg injury could be his ultimate demise.
I'm just thinking, you know, King Henry today versus King Henry back then. Like, King Henry today, I doubt he'll get a leg wound from jousting, but for his... you know, particular arena, which is the NFL, he could certainly get a leg injury.
Apparently, Henry V was a big-time king of England as well.
Big time.
He only had a 9-year reign, but his outstanding military success in the Hundred Years' War against France made England one of the strongest military powers in Europe. So,
is that what you're hoping for with Derrick Henry?
I'm looking at other King Henrys. I mean, a short reign in Tennessee, I mean, he has made us one of... you know, the better teams in the conference. I mean, maybe he could do it again this year, and, you know, we could...
Will you become a world power, though?
A world power.
Could the Titans become the power?
A world power. I mean, you have to win the Super Bowl, and that seems a little... You know, that seems a tough ask.
You could consider the Chiefs right now, like the French. They kind of got the hold over you. You know? But, hey, you take Napoleon out, which in this analogy is Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
They got Napoleon. Boom.
It's possible. Boom.
Then they become just a bunch of French, you know, crybabies.
That running back class is crazy. And I don't know, like, how many you'll see, like, stay with their team or if they're all just kind of be out left in the, you know, kind of left out in the cold. We obviously haven't seen the Vikings pay Dalvin Cook. We haven't seen the Saints pay Kamara. You'll see a lot of turnover there, I'm guessing, and we'll see how much money is passed out. If I'm Derrick Henry, though, I'm mad. If I'm in that locker room, I'm probably like, man. You know, it's probably something you always have in the back of your mind as a NFL player of like, hey, it's a business and all that. But, like, when you see that, like, no matter what you do on the field, you're going to have a glass ceiling, that has to be a bad feeling to have, right? Of just seeing that, like, there's only a couple guys in that locker room who can actually get paid the big money.
Oh, yeah.
Because, again, if you're in that locker room, you think Derrick Henry is the reason the Titans are successful. And, you know, you watched up close and personal as he ran for 200 yards three straight weeks to carry you to the AFC Championship. And you're probably like, oh, man, this doesn't seem fair. It's a cold game. And then you probably look at Mike Vrabel a little bit differently. You know, if I'm in the Titans locker room and as a Titans fan, I'm kind of looking like, ah, man, this is Belichickian of him. And you start, you know, realizing that they want to build a Patriots type of program, and what the Patriots do is get rid of guys a year early versus a year too late. You don't lock yourself into bad contracts. And then all of a sudden I'm looking at, man, we had two leaders in this locker room the last couple of years, or at least we've had two separate leaders at parts of these last three or four years. Maybe even three. You look at Delanie Walker gone.
Yeah.
Jarrell Casey got shipped off just to save money. And at one point, you thought that extra money was going to be used for free agency, either for Derrick Henry or for Jadeveon Clowney. Clowney ain't coming, at least right now. And Derrick Henry didn't get paid. And for Derrick Henry, you're that other leader. And you're like, man, this is tough.
Yeah, bad draw for running backs.
Bad draw for running backs. Derrick Henry probably would have made a lot more money as like a outside linebacker.
Yeah.
Maybe should have. Went the Jalen Hurd route and switched positions in college.
Actually, you want to be defensive end. That's what Shaq Barrett and them are trying to get defensive end money.
That's right. Shaquille Barrett, you know, he accepted the franchise tag, but was like, just one thing, guys. I am not a linebacker. I am a defensive end. Like, I had, 19 sacks last year? I am a pass rusher. I am not – you're not going to pay me less for being an outside linebacker. No matter where I line up, I am on the line of scrimmage and rushing the passer. Please pay me as a pass rusher.
Money's cool.
Money is cool.
But have you had the glory of being a running back? Like, you know, that's got to be cool, too.
I mean, Derrick Henry, you know.
To just run over defenses and, like, in the middle of winter, and you're just – you know, what he did last year was impressive. I mean, it's special.
You are right about the glory. You are right. But, I mean, the money is probably also important, too.
Yeah, but once you reach a certain level of money, it's the whole threshold of happiness thing.
Yeah, but what's that threshold? Is it?
I mean, what's the difference?
Is it $15 million?
How much just Derrick Henry made?
I mean, he's probably made like $6 or $7 million in his career.
And he'll make.
And he's making ten.
Let's
this
say
year.
He'll make.
He's making ten this year.
So he's making ten this year. So let's just say
that's what I'm asking.
Let's just say at the end of the day, the guy's worth $20 million. What's the difference in $20 million?
I wouldn't say he's worth $20 million. You consider, you know, agent fees and stuff like that. What you have to spend.
At the end of his career, you don't think
he'll think he'll pass 20 barely by the end of his career. I mean, at this rate, I hope he passes it comfortably.
Let's say at the end of his career, he's worth $18 million. What's the difference in being worth $18 million and $30
million? $12
million. I understand the math. I just
a yacht.
But do you need a yacht?
Probably don't need one, but you might want one.
Like, I mean, $18 million is $18
million. Sure, $30
million
is $30
million. You're never going to struggle again.
Sure.
Ever.
Not even close. I wouldn't say that at all.
If you live below your means a little bit, you don't. Maybe don't get a yacht.
Well, I mean, I don't think that we have. I think
maybe don't have an entire landscaping staff.
Well, I mean, I think we've seen enough instances of players going broke and not managing their money well, and, you know, entertainers going broke because you want the money to keep coming in. And
yeah.
I'm just saying, like, you might need that extra $12 million to recoup the money that you've already spent and the people that, you know, you've promised people things and
if
you
it gets
make
to
some
that
money
point,
and
it's kind of a you
business,
problem.
And then
though.
You get one bad investment, and who knows? Now you're wiped out. Your manager's taking your money.
At that point, it's kind of a you problem, though. I'm going to say Derrick Henry's good with his money. That's going to be my. That's what I'm thinking. I think he's good with his money.
Okay. I'm not saying he's not.
Do you think he is?
I don't know anything about his
Didn't he have one of those, like, very, very heavy gold chains? Is he the guy I'm thinking of that had, like, it was worth, like, or was it a watch? It was worth several million. No. What was it? Last year. It was last year. Derrick Henry.
Jewelry, maybe, would be the Google search.
How do you spell Derrick? Derrick
R-R-I-C-K. Henry.
Jewelry, you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, he got an $85,000 chain last year.
That's okay.
It was to honor Kobe, though. That's what I was thinking of. So
he's
it was
honoring
this
Kobe.
Year. It was this year.
$85,000 chain. Diamonds are going to keep their
It does
their
seem
worth.
A little...
As long as he doesn't get it snatched off of him, and I wouldn't want to snatch it off Derrick Henry. As long as he wears it in the right places and doesn't go out flashing it where he can get robbed, then I'm okay. I mean, the diamonds keep their value, right? Like, diamonds, you can always cash those
diamonds
in.
Diamonds are forever.
Diamonds are forever, as Cam says. You can melt down the gold. Like, you'll be fine. What was the chain? Was it a big 2-4?
Every kiss
what was
begins
it?
With K. Huh?
Was it a big 2-4 or what? What was the chain?
It was a chain and pendant. I don't know. It was $85,000.
How did it honor Kobe is what I'm asking. Like, was it was it Kobe's head? Was it
Kobe, Derrick
like big
Henry.
Angel wings? Like,
how do you
what?
Spell Kobe?
K-O-B-E.
Bryant. Necklace. How do you spell necklace? Chain?
Necklace.
Let's see.
Or did he just get the chain?
Yeah, it had a Mamba around it. It was
so
gold
it's a big
and
snake
it had
chain?
A, yeah, it had like a snake around it. It was just covered in diamonds.
Okay. I mean, it's cool.
Yeah, but
collector's edition.
I mean,
who knows? Maybe you can sell for $115,000 at some point.
$85,000 though,
man. Big Kobe
on.
Fan.
Come on, $85,000.
Well, that's why he thought he was getting paid this offseason.
Maybe I take back that Derrick Henry's good with his money.
I think he's allowed to splurge. I think he's allowed to splurge and buy a chain if he wants to buy a chain.
Well, maybe the difference in $30 million and $18 million is a lot for him then.
I think it's a lot for anybody.
I'm just saying if you're responsible with your money, I think $18 million is like
That's what you're going to do on your way out here is be responsible with your money, guys?
No, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm not good with money. I've never claimed to be good with money.
Wouldn't
I'm
I mean,
just saying
I mean, but wouldn't $30 million give you a little bit more leeway to
Yeah, but I think I'd be
a little bit more reckless with your money. I think that's what the issue is.
I guess, yeah, but I just, you know, I'd be pretty happy with 18.
Sure. You're going to go that route of, it could be worse.
Do you think he's going to be happier with 30 as opposed to 18?
I think so.
I don't think so.
I think so.
You never watched Oprah.
I watched a couple episodes.
$70,000, that's it.
I don't know if that's the truth or not.
That's what Oprah said. When has she been known to lie?
I haven't seen Oprah turning down her billions of dollars. Like, what? Oprah's the one telling you only need $70,000? Oprah's worth how much money?
I just remember it from Oprah. I think she had a guest on.
But I'm asking, is she the person we're taking the word for this? Like, she,
no, it was, a, it's not it like was she's an
like,
expert.
Hey, it's not like she's like, hey, I'll take $70,000 and I'll donate the rest because that's all I need to be happy.
It wasn't actually Oprah. It was an expert.
She's given the expert the platform, though.
Yeah, but she probably doesn't necessarily agree with everything that everyone's ever said on her show.
Sure.
So let's not.
Well, you're throwing.
I don't
Oprah.
Mean to imply that Oprah says you only need $70,000 to be happy.
Please find the name of the person who said that. Whatever schmohawk is going around.
There
telling
was people some
that.
Guy.
I know,
she had on.
It carries a little bit more weight when you say Oprah. Don't you agree?
I just meant I saw it on Oprah.
That's fine, but I need the schmohawk's name. Who is saying it?
Why are you calling him a schmohawk?
Because I think it's stupid. I think I'd be much happier with $200,000 a year versus $70,000.
Did you never hear money can't buy happiness?
Yeah.
Basically, what they were just saying.
I mean, I think that means if you're unhappy, you're not going to be happy just because you have money. Like, I think that saying should be a study into like depression. You know what I mean? I think we make it a thing that's kind of anti-money, but it's real. Like, hey, if you're depressed, money's not going to get you out of your depression. We need to have a whole mental health discussion surrounding that. But you know, I'm pretty content right now.
The point of it was that, like,
I would be much more content if I made $200,000 a year.
I'd rather cry in a big house than in my car that I'm living out of.
Right, but the point of it was that money can make you happy, but it's only up to 70 grand. And then after that, it's kind of on you.
Do you agree with that? Because I think
it's just what the study said. It's what the guy said. I don't know if it's true.
I'm asking you.
I don't know.
Do you agree with it?
I don't know if it's true.
So do you agree with it?
I don't know.
So you've just been saying it 10 times on the air this segment, and you don't.
I'm referencing the study.
Which was what?
By
whom?
Referencing it. By like, it's something I saw on Oprah.
It's something you saw
years
on Oprah
ago back home.
A decade ago.
Years ago back home.
I'm sure there's that line of thinking out there, but again, I think it should be much more of a,
let's see.
A testament or a study onto mental health. Cam, send us a break. We'll try to come back with the study. It's Talk Sports Happiness. On Fan Run Radio.
Your pet is an important part of your family.
Have you found the study, Cody? Tweeter wrote in with an article about a CEO in Seattle who raised all of his employees' salary to $70,000 and slashed his from $1 million down to $100,000 and said that there is a significant difference in a person's emotional well-being up to the point where they earn $75,000 a year, which I would point out that he only raised it to $70,000. Like, didn't give him that last $5,000 to really help him, but you know, he did the best he could, and he says it has really helped his employees. And shout out to him, and shout out to Gravity, the company that he did it from. So again, kind of funny though. He says $75,000 is the baseline, and I'm gonna get you there, just close enough. $70,000. Have you found the study?
I'm seeing a few different things. Okay. This is from data from the Gallup World Poll, reference from a Gallup World Poll. Where research confirmed past studies that found around $70,000 was an ideal income for providing day-to-day happiness in the U.S. If you go back to 2010, Time magazine did an article on the study. They said happiness caps at $75,000. So, and you know,
when they say it caps, that mean like you don't get happier at 75, or that's the number you have to
get to
be happy?
That's
like, which one is it, though?
That's the number to where you don't have to worry about financial struggles, and you don't have to worry about everyday expenses as much, as long as you're living, at or below your means. And I would tend to agree with that. You know, I'm a pretty happy guy. And full disclosure, I mean, I only make about $83,000 a year here, but I'm plenty happy with that salary. And that's enough for me. But now they've updated it. So now you got to account for inflation. So now as of 2018, USA Today says money not linked to happiness passed 105,000 in the U.S., so they've raised it 30 grand.
So again, it sounds like from these studies that it's the baseline, not the point that you don't become happier, but that you aren't. Like, you have to hit a certain amount to be happy with your situation. Not necessarily that you can't get happier, it's just that, like, that's the point where people get happy.
They're basically saying once you're at that point, you don't have to struggle with every day, you know, how am I going to pay the rent?
Right.
How am I going to, you know.
Sure. But it doesn't mean that, like, making $200,000 doesn't make you happier than you would if you made $100,000. That's not what that study is saying. It's basically saying you need to get to
$105,000
to be happy and be able to live freely or do whatever they're saying you can do in the article.
It's like you said, it's a baseline. I mean, at the end of the day, though, I don't think happiness is directly tied to how much money you make.
No, not directly.
You know, it's a baseline.
Again, I think you have to be happy with the rest of your life, and you can make $10 million a year, but if you're lonely, like, that's not going to buy you real companionship. It will buy you company and friends that aren't really your friends, and, like, yeah, you won't be happier, but if you are happy and you have a good life, and then you go from making X amount of money to $5 million a year, and you're already happy, you're going to be happier.
Look at Anthony Bourdain. Guy spent his whole life traveling the world, eating the best food you could imagine, making great money, just going and doing whatever he wanted. At the end of the day, he wasn't happy.
I mean,
he ended his life.
To what I said last segment about the mental health, like, I think that should always be the jumping off point on these conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, again, just money's not going to make those people happy. You got to realize that you have to, fight that struggle no matter how much money you have.
Yeah. Yeah.
But me, I think I'm generally pretty happy. I would be much happier if I made much more money.
Yeah. Well, you make around 80K a year here, just like me. So, you know, we're both doing
a little
great.
Bit less. A little bit less.
Yeah, I make 83. What do you make?
You pulled in a better year than me. I hear grinding. I appreciate it.
And when I say 83, I mean I've made $83 this year.
Yeah. But, if I'm Derrick Henry, I would be happier. I mean, $10 million I'm happy with, don't get me wrong, but I would be happier if you gave me $25 million guaranteed over the next 3 years.
Yeah.
That would take
most of us would.
That would take a lot of professional stress off.
Yeah.
Even if I'm Derrick Henry, like, if you gave me just, like, you know, really, I would say if you just gave me $30 million over the next 3 years, I would probably be happy. Just go ahead and just lock in that money. Give me at least another year guaranteed. And, you know, it would just go a long way from me being worried now every time I get hit in 2020 on whether or not I'm going to miss my next paycheck because of an injury. Because if I tear an ACL, if I break a leg, I'm not going to be very useful to that team, to whatever team in 2021. I might miss a whole year of money.
It does suck when you think about it. Like, when your income depends on your physical wellness.
Yeah, no, like, I mean, you'd be stressed out. Especially, it's one thing to be, like, physically well. It's another to, like, my position is running the ball into big guys and getting hit and having people pile up on me and people going low on me because I am a monster. Like, I could easily blow a leg out, a knee out, and then I miss a whole year of money.
Imagine that being the standard in radio. Like, you break your arm and they won't let you in because you're just...
Just any type of physical...
You're on IR this week.
Yeah.
And you're like, I can still do it with a broken arm. They're like, I don't know. I don't know if you can.
Or if every time you were on the radio, you had a 5% chance of losing your voice for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. I mean, like, all of a sudden, I'm talking and I'm doing the news and I'm telling you about this new study where $70,000 says that you can't do this.
And then you're on the shelf for a year and you can't earn money off of it. Now, you know, obviously.
What if your pitch just changed?
Like,
just...
obviously, there's not many people who are going to cry if a player gets $10 million and can't work for a year. And you're like, oh, you made $10 million. That's more money than we'll ever make in a lifetime. I understand that concept of it, but I'm also looking at it from a, comparing him to his peers and comparing him to other people in sports.
Mm-hmm.
It would be tough to be a physical running back and then be told, hey, yeah, we don't have anything for you next year, bud. We'll see you at the end of the year. Go run the ball as hard as you can for us.
Good luck.
That'd be tough.
Well, that's, these guys are competitors.
These guys are competitors.
They're the modern-day gladiators.
Modern-day gladiators is what I was about to say.
Great expression. I'd say it's a little rude to the gladiators who actually put their lives on the line.
I would say it's maybe a little rude because they had to, right? Like, most of the gladiators, I mean, there weren't very many of them that were doing it for the fame and fortune, right?
Like, if I'm a gladiator from back in the day, and then I see today where Americans are calling these football players modern-day gladiators, I'd be like, why don't you come in our arena for a little while, you
know? They're playing the lions. We actually were playing real lions.
Yeah, the actual lions.
Yeah, like what the mascot was based off of. That's who we were fighting. Now, we did get a sword sometimes.
Whereas you guys are just going against the worst team in the NFC North for the last 40 years.
Sure.
We actually got bit on the leg. Bit.
That should be their home field advantage. They should just release real lions during the
game. Now, most gladiators were like prisoners, though, right? Like, most of them.
They'd win more games.
Prisoners. Yeah. They're basically forced.
That's what I'm saying. They didn't really have a choice. Like, I mean.
Imagine the glory in that, though.
Pretty cool.
Because they were fighting for their freedom, right?
Am I wrong, or did you have to win, like, five fights or something?
Yeah, it wasn't just, like, one fight. If you were good, they wanted you to stay for entertainment.
That's even more impressive. That's even more impressive. Imagine winning four fights, and you go out for that fifth one, sword in hand. You had to feel like the baddest man on the planet.
But you take the L, and you don't get
down. And then it didn't always work out.
And then by the time the fifth fight, they really stack the deck against you, and there's three lions and two people out there trying to kill you, and they make sure you don't get out. Was that the case? Did gladiators get out after winning a certain amount of fights, or did I confuse that with, like, Death Race or something, like with Jason Statham? Like, I feel like I might be combining the two stories.
Well, I think it's used in a lot of movies, but I think that's the same premise from Gladiator.
Did you ever watch the Gladiator movie, just Gladiator?
Yeah, yeah.
From back in the, what was that, the early 2000s?
I was going to say it was, like, either, I think it might just be 2000.
You gave me a look like that's a very dumb question, as if everyone has ever seen that movie.
I mean, I feel like if you watch movies, and you're around our age, you've watched Gladiator, right? I mean, Cam, you ever watched Gladiator?
Sorry, I forgot Roger Ebert. My bad.
I mean, it's a pretty big deal, right? I mean, wasn't Gladiator a pretty big movie?
Yes, Mr. Ebert. My apologies.
I mean, have you ever seen it?
I don't know if I have. It had, who's the actor?
Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe.
I mean, it was a pretty big movie. It was up for, like, Best Picture.
Oh, I know it was a big movie.
It was up for Best Picture and, like, Best Actor and stuff. I mean, like, it was a...
I think I watched it, like, on TV, but it's one of those that I don't know that I ever just watched fully all the way through, you know?
It won Best Picture, right?
Really? Oh, man. Apparently, if you just did, like, an extraordinary performance, it was, like, something they had never seen before or something crazy, you could win your freedom on the spot.
So it was almost like Dana White's fight bonus. Like, if you have the best type of knockout, he'll give you an extra paycheck. So, like, if you
just do something wild?
If you, like, do a backflip
and extraordinary performance, yeah.
I would literally take the sword and cut my arm off.
I think you still have to win, though.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, you
have to. I would just be trying to do as many barrel rolls and, like,
make it super dramatic,
Yeah. Twirling up in the air and coming down and stabbing a guy in the shoulder.
It's not super common because it'd be like, one, they're like, okay, that's awesome. And two, sometimes they're like, but we want to see that again.
Yeah. You got to be careful. You can't be too good or else they'll make you keep fighting. Yeah, it won Best Picture and Best Actor in the Academy Awards. So, I mean, it's a pretty significant movie.
I need to add that to my list.
Yeah, it's a pretty significant movie. I mean,
make it 3 to 5 years.
Was that Joaquin's first role? Does it say anything about the first, if you win five fights, you got out, or did I make that number up?
3 to 5 years, you get freedom.
Oh, okay.
It's from 2000.
But it also does say, like, if you win, like, a series of fights, you can win your freedom. Like, apparently there's a game manager that, like, could overrule, like, your owner, technically, and, like, give you a symbol of freedom.
It's like a commissioner.
Yeah, and just be like, okay, I like this guy. He's free, basically.
I didn't realize it won Academy Awards.
Yeah, I was going to say Best Picture and Best Actor.
I'm
pretty sure Joaquin
was... Watch Gladiator.
Joaquin, I think that's his first big role, and I think he was nominated, because, I mean, he was a really good bad guy in that movie. I mean, that's why I scoffed at the question. I mean, come on.
I'm adding it to my notes.
You thought you had a unknown gem or something?
No, I wasn't trying to.
Gladiator's been coming on my TV for like the last 15 years, bro.
I wasn't trying to. I know it's not an uncut gem.
Hour one of the books, hour two on deck. It's Talk Sports. It's Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. Coming out from John Rothstein. Is that his name? John Rothstein? College basketball reporter. Is that his name? Rothstein.
Are you thinking of that rich family that runs
the
world?
No, that's the Rothschilds. I know
Rothschild. Yeah, that's what
we don't speak of them.
Rothschild. Rothstein is his name. Rothstein.
Yeah. He's the guy that's always like, "This is March." You ever seen those tweets? He's always tweeting. He's a college basketball junkie. Anyways, he tweeted out that Memphis expected to land Moussa Cisse, 5-star prospect from Memphis. He is expected to pick Memphis. Tennessee trending pretty well with Kennedy Chandler in the college basketball landscape as well. 5-star point guard we've been after. You see the stuff with Cade Mays yesterday? The reporting going on by multiple people. I saw Blockquist. Austin Price was tweeting about it. I saw we ran a story. Yeah.
I don't remember what it was, though.
Well, basically, people were looking yesterday and like, hey, JT Daniels got cleared at Georgia. He transferred like 4 months after Cade Mays, and he already has his eligibility. What the hell's going on with Cade Mays? Why haven't we heard anything from him? And basically, we found out that we hadn't really put in a request for a waiver until like last week.
Oh, well, that's good.
But people are saying, you know, like it's Tennessee was just doing their due diligence and making sure the case was had all the details. They didn't want to rush into anything.
Sounds like we're really on top of things over there. Didn't his dad get his thumb bit off by a dog or something?
Something.
Isn't that the excuse they're going to use? That Ugga bit his thumb off or something?
Yeah, Ugga bit his thumb off. Something like that.
Is that... what was it? Wasn't it? I know a dog.
You think the dog? Okay.
I understand Ugga didn't really bite his thumb off. It's,
I mean, yeah, I said it was something like that.
I couldn't remember what it was.
You were close. It's something like that.
Well, can you tell me?
He got it squished off in a steel chair.
Was it Ugga's chair?
I don't imagine it was Ugga's chair. It might have had Ugga on the chair. Like it might have had a picture of Ugga.
Maybe Ugga
on the chair.
Sat on his thumb.
Maybe Ugga ate it, the pinky after it came off, but he like smashed off. He like smashed off a part of his pinky, wasn't it? Like didn't he get caught like in the steel chair?
Yeah, in like those folding chairs. Yeah.
He wouldn't have been very good as a WWE wrestler, I don't guess.
They didn't do a lot of sitting in those chairs. You just picked him up, and I mean, he probably would have been pretty good as a WWE wrestler.
Actually, he probably would. I think he's a pretty big guy.
Yeah,
I think Bear.
Obviously, with a
knows him.
High tolerance for pain.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he does. He was a football player, too. Didn't he play here?
Yeah.
I think he played here.
He was really good here.
Yeah.
I believe.
He's probably a pretty tough guy.
Yeah, yeah.
That would suck, though, to have an incident like that. I mean, that's kind of a freak accident, you know?
Sure, sure.
To have to go through, especially in a place like Georgia.
But the idea was that Tennessee has not didn't rush to get the waiver in and said nothing to worry about. It's kind of the same thing they did with Aubrey Solomon, which – keep in mind, we did go down close to the deadline for Aubrey Solomon and whether or not he got cleared, but he still was ready to start from day one, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So they're saying not to worry about Cade Mays, and just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen. That basically, a lot of people were waiting because around the time of April, around this whole time, there was a thought that you didn't even need to file any paperwork, just that like all transfers were going to get a stamp of approval. Remember when we thought that a couple
pandemic.
Months ago?
Pandemic.
Well, no, before. No, it was, I guess, right when the pandemic started. Yeah.
Yep.
That you thought.
Just fax over a thing to the NCAA. Just write, Cade Mays, please approve. And then where it says reason and there's that colon, just put pandemic.
Yeah. And the thought process was that the NCAA was going to just stamp everyone and say you're good to go. But they tabled that vote all the way until January. So Tennessee did have to get a case ready. And, you know, I guess they wanted to make sure they had everything ready to go before they sent it over, and apparently sent it over last week. Just an update there.
Hmm. Well, I'm sure they know what they're doing.
I mean, they have gotten the two guys cleared, right, so far they tried to get cleared in terms of Urosh and Solomon. Now, Urosh got cleared a little bit late.
And it's not like
they maybe took a little bit too long to get that waiver in.
They know what they're doing over there. Let's just trust them. Just put blind trust in them. And, you know, it's not like anything's ever been – it's not like they've ever screwed anything up over there. So,
well, I mean, I just think at this point it seems really stupid to worry about these waivers when we don't even know if we're going to play football.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Oh, Jesus.
You all right over there?
Please excuse me. Yeah, that's what I was going to – just a little COVID. That's what I was going to say. I mean, that's – Cade Mays getting cleared typically would be high on my priority list as a Tennessee fan. But right now – really, it's not, because I don't even know if we're going to play.
Saw way too many pieces yesterday in the college football circles that was basically like, just go ahead and face it, guys. We're not playing football. Like a lot of opinion pieces on Yahoo and other websites.
Well, Sankey said yesterday something like that. Basically, he said if things don't change in terms of the public health, the way things, you know, the trend, he said we're not playing. Did you see that?
You saw You saw the conscious effort, right, from all of these schools and all of their accounts to be like, hey, guys, you got to start putting out stuff about wearing masks. We have to convince people to wear masks.
Where did I see that? I saw something about Sankey. Did I not bookmark
I mean,
that?
Sankey was getting frustrated, and Sankey's been frustrated since Saturday. I mean, he's just basically like, look, we got to get this under control if we're going to play. I didn't see where he said that it wasn't we weren't going to play if we
well,
didn't.
Well, He didn't say it in those terms, but it was like, let me see if I can figure this out. Yeah. He says his concern level is high to very high. We are running out of time to correct and get things right.
Yeah, no, I mean, we are running out of time to do that.
He is concerned about having football this season.
I would think you'd have to be, right? I mean, who isn't concerned at this point? Everyone should be concerned, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're not concerned, you haven't been paying attention, right?
Right, right.
Even the most optimistic people have to feel like this is an issue.
Here's the quote that I saw. The public health trends are not what we had hoped for.
No.
If the public doesn't help get the virus under control, the season is in trouble. Now, that second part was not actually directly from him, but that was kind of a translation.
I mean, is anybody out there more confident than, like, you know, 70% that we're playing this year?
No.
I mean, I don't think you could be because we've already had to lose games, right? And I think a lot of people were holding out hope that we would not lose any games.
I think we're going to play, and then it's just going to end up being a total cluster.
That's what I'm worried about, too, is that we're actually going to get started, and then we're going to
cluster,
to not make cluck. It out of the make
second
it out of the
week.
First, yeah, yeah, make it out of the first month, basically.
Yeah, that's you're gonna have like a couple teams that are 3-0. You're gonna have a couple teams that are 1-2, and it's like, well, that was the season. I mean, I hope it's not like that, but it's gonna
maybe be claim a national championship if we're 3-0.
I mean,
if we beat Oklahoma and we're undefeated, I am claiming a national championship. Just so you guys know,
if we beat Florida, Oklahoma,
oh, if we beat Florida, yeah, if we beat Florida yeah. for sure. I'm just talking about if we're 3-0 after beating Oklahoma. And, you know, whatever school we play after that, whatever's next, Furman, I guess. I am, we are national champions.
I mean, I think.
Undefeated.
I think it's safe to say you beat Oklahoma, they're in the playoff every year. Doesn't that mean basically you're better than that playoff team? You were on that day.
I mean, and we would still have a long win streak.
That's true. We would have
nation's second longest.
Yeah. Who knows?
Maybe LSU loses
will
early.
Lose.
I don't know what LSU's schedule looks like early, but I mean, maybe if LSU drops one, yeah, we will have the longest.
You're going to tell me the team that beats Oklahoma and has the nation's longest win streak not a national champion?
At that point, we'd be what, like 9-0, basically. So we'd have like we'd 3/4 of the way to a perfect season.
And look at all the quality teams we've beaten that stretch. Other than Oklahoma,
we'd be exactly. we'd be
Furman.
I mean, we would
Kentucky
4-0 in the SEC, and I mean. Oklahoma's a playoff team. That would get us in the playoff for sure. Texas. We got to root for Texas to go into LSU and beat them.
They're going to.
Sam Ehlinger. Never doubted him.
Actually, they're probably not going
to. No, they're not going to. I'm not relying on.
You would think a quarterback like Sam Ehlinger would be good enough, like they're replacing their superstar.
Yeah, you would think. As much as we hear about Sam Ehlinger, that, you know, you could drop him in there and they'd go get that win. But
LSU
know,
will find a way to win.
I'm not picking Texas and Tom Herman to go into LSU. Which seems kind
of. You don't go in and beat Coach O in a big game. It just doesn't really happen.
Have we hit that point?
even before the national championship run, he's been really good in big games.
I mean,
at home.
They barely scored any points at all against Alabama.
At home, he's been really good in big games. I mean, maybe not against Alabama, but that's Alabama.
What are the big games they play?
They take care of Auburn. Remember they beat that Georgia team that everybody was so high on? You know, everybody said they were so great. Remember the undefeated Georgia team that was – LSU beat their ass. Like, was that 2 years ago?
Sure that wasn't Auburn that beat them?
No. LSU beat them down. I'll figure it out. I want to say it was 2018 Georgia because it was on the same day that we beat Auburn.
Okay. And then Georgia went on to the SEC championship anyways?
I think that was the year they went on to the national championship.
That was the year they lost to Auburn. No, and the year they went to the national championship, they lost to Auburn and then beat them in the SEC championship.
That's right. That's
2019, yeah.
Let's see. 2018, Georgia went 11-3, but they were undefeated at the time. So they were undefeated. They were 1-2-3-4-5-6-0, and they went into Baton Rouge and lost 36-16.
Okay. And LSU was ranked what at the time?
I'm not sure. But Georgia went on to beat Florida, beat Auburn. Like, they were 11-1 that year.
Then lost the SEC Championship, then lost.
Texas Sugar Bowl.
That's the year they lost to LSU in the Bama in the SEC Championship.
Yeah, so it would have been the next year. Okay. Yeah. But I just remember that Georgia team was really good, but LSU beat them down in that on that particular day. There's other examples, too. Coach O's pretty good in those big games.
I remember he lost to Florida.
I mean, he can't win every game, but.
Lost to Florida 2 years ago.
I think his record against ranked opponents is better than.
If you lose to.
I mean, I don't think anybody wins every big game. I'm just saying he's been pretty good in them.
Okay, I'm just
looking fine.
I mean, I'm just.
He's been Coach O in big games. I don't think that'll get anything in Google.
I don't think you want Big O in the same thing.
People also ask, why is Coach O's voice so raspy?
It's a good question. It's a fair question.
Someone else asked, is Ed Orgeron a good coach? He's good in big games. Like, I think he's got one of the best percentages against ranked opponents.
Okay.
I don't have the stats to back it up. Can you not just take what I say for...
I mean, I just know that it just seems crazy that we're saying that now about Ed Orgeron whenever, like, 2 years ago we're talking about... Or, like, before last year we're talking about he wasn't going to... He was a terrible hire and, like, they were going to fire him.
I'm going to walk you through Ed Orgeron. 2017 LSU schedule. All right, so that was his first full year. That was when they lost to Troy, which obviously was not a big game.
Not a big game for them.
But they beat Florida that year, so this is his first full year. They beat Florida. They beat Auburn. They did lose to Alabama, sure. But they beat A&M. So they beat Auburn, Florida, two of their biggest rivals.
They lost by 30 to Mississippi State.
No, they didn't. What are you talking about?
In 2017?
Holy hell.
They lost by 30 to Mississippi State.
Well, now see, that was still earlier in the year when they were trying to get things figured out.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, their big wins would be against they beat Florida by 1 point, and they beat Auburn.
Well, this is his first full year.
Sure. They lost
to beat Florida and Auburn.
They lost the bowl game to Notre Dame.
Well, are those not big games for LSU, though?
I mean –
Florida and Auburn. Mississippi – you're an LSU fan, right?
Yeah.
Mississippi State, you don't really look at as a big game. Or Troy. Those aren't really big games, right?
Sure.
So, sure, you lose those games, but those aren't big games.
I would look at Alabama as the biggest game, though, and they scored 10 points.
A&M's a big game. Okay, well, let's move on to 2018.
Yeah, let's move on to 2018, because I know they lost to A&M that year.
Well, that was a fluke.
And got shut out by Alabama.
That was a fluke.
Lost to Florida, so that would be 0-3 in what you call big games. You said
what happened in the Auburn game?
They did win the Auburn game by 1 point. That was Joe Burrow's fine moment where he was really terrible for the whole game and then somehow led a game-winning field goal drive. So, I mean.
What happened in, you remember that UCF team that y'all were so high on that everybody
y'all
said.
Y'all were so high on. That everybody, I don't remember being
you
very high
and
on
your
UCF.
Former producer.
I don't remember being very high on UCF.
That everybody said was.
They deserve a national championship.
They gutted out an eight point win.
All those UFC people.
You have convinced me. Ed O, great in big games. He gutted out an 8 point win over UCF. Against their backup quarterback.
That was a national championship
against,
team.
No,
that's
that
what
was
everybody
their,
used to
that
tell
was
me.
Their backup quarterback. If their starting quarterback
all those
played,
UFC fans used to tell me.
If their starting quarterback.
And yes, I'm saying that on purpose because I'm saying that the UCF fans are the same people that watch UFC.
So.
I don't know why I took a shot there. I got nothing against the UFC.
So, I mean, like last year, yeah, last year they won a bunch of the big games, obviously. Like they went undefeated. So.
Ed Orgeron's really good against ranked opponents. All right. He's really good against ranked opponents.
I think last year you can not argue that because they had 7 wins over top 10 teams. So, like, Ed Orgeron was 7-0 last year against top 10 teams. So
even when he was building, though, you could see the glimmers that Coach O was good in big games.
Go find his record at Ole Miss.
Better in big games than Bob Stoops.
Go find his record in big games at Ole Miss.
You call Bob Stoops big game. Well, you said Ole Miss.
Call Bob Stoops big game, Bob.
Yeah,
that's
do.
What other people call it.
You call him big game.
I didn't
game
give
Bob.
Him that nickname.
You said it the other day.
I didn't give him
you
a nickname.
You were talking about he's the best coach that you could hire right now.
I mean, he's better than Ed Orgeron.
I don't think he's a better motivator.
That's fine. He's a better coach.
Really?
Yeah.
Coach O won a natty last year. When's Bob's natty last natty?
They both have a natty.
Bob hadn't done anything in 20 years.
They both have a natty in this millennium.
Who you taking today?
Bob Stoops.
I don't think so.
I'll take Bob Stoops.
I'm taking Coach O today.
Mark that down.
Your unmotivated Oklahoma team is going to get their ass kicked like they always did in the big games.
Mark that down. Mark that down as you are going to ride into sunset with Ed Orgeron without Joe Burrow and Joe Brady. Just go ahead.
Who hired Joe Brady? Who hired Joe Brady? Coach O did.
Oh, I thought you meant like away from.
Coach O, he found Joe Brady.
That's fine. He was also running with Esminger or whatever his name is for
Ensminger.
A while.
Ensminger. Get it right. Steve Ensminger.
Yeah.
And Steve Ensminger was a key to that offense, too.
I don't think he was. I don't think he was.
Who went and got Joe Burrow out of Ohio State? Coach O went and got Joe Burrow out of Ohio State.
Coach O did.
Big game Bob, all he ever did was get his ass kicked. There's a little Bill Cosby in there. A little Fat Albert in there, I think. hey, we won an Addy.
I mean, it's a bad time to be trying to argue against Ed Orgeron. As I acknowledge, he went 7-0 against top 10 teams last year. But I'm simply saying, I am going to bet on that being an aberration.
I'm going to bet on Bob Stoops and the SEC not being great.
It's a stupid argument to have because Bob Stoops isn't in the SEC and he's not coaching.
And so he's not done anything in 20 years, and you just said you'd take him today over Coach O.
He's done a lot.
Look what Coach O's doing with those players, the motivator Coach O's. I'm not saying Coach O's the best game day coach.
The last time Bob Stoops coached against the SEC, didn't he beat Saban's ass? Was that the last time they coached?
So you're not going to include all those national championships he got to and got his ass kicked by Florida once, by LSU once, by USC once.
They lost by that Florida game was pretty close.
Bob hasn't done anything in 2 decades.
That Florida game was
pretty
close.
No, it wasn't.
Florida punched a touchdown.
Florida Oklahoma game was like 38-20 something.
Florida punched in a touchdown with 2 minutes left to win by 14. It was a 7-point game until Tebow scored at the very end of the game.
Well, who won?
Florida won. I just acknowledged that, but
they were never really in trouble.
I mean, it's a 7-point game. I'd have to go back and look at the moments that Oklahoma had chance to take a lead or tie the game. But it was Tebow punched the score in at the last part of the game.
Was that 55-19 game against USC close? Was that a good national championship?
No, that was also 20 years ago against
USC. Just like his national championship was 20 years ago. That was actually like 17 years ago.
That's fine, but I mean, we're talking about, I thought you were talking about against the SEC and not.
I'm just saying, Bob was coaching the XFL. 2-0
against Tennessee.
Bob's window is closed.
2-0 against Tennessee.
Bob ain't coaching no more.
I look, again, it's stupid to argue about Bob Stoops.
I'm just saying, you said you'd take him over Coach O.
Last time I think he coached against the SEC, he did kick Saban's ass. That did happen.
That was an unmotivated Alabama team.
I thought you said Bob's problem was he couldn't motivate his guys.
Missed out.
But didn't you just say that Bob's problem was he couldn't motivate his guys?
Everybody gets up for Alabama.
Oh, okay.
Don't they?
Okay.
I mean, yeah, they got up for that one.
Yeah.
Against a reeling Alabama team who had just won back-to-back natties. They were tired of winning.
The big part of the argument here is like you are ready to call Coach O elite. Like
no, that's not what I'm willing to do.
Sounds like what you're ready to say.
That's not what I'm willing to do. I'm willing to say today I'm going to take the SEC Coach O, who's dominated the SEC last year, has great experience in the South, resonates with his players.
7-0 against top 10 teams.
Dominant against ranked teams and maybe the best motivator in the game.
7 top 10 wins.
I'm just saying today. You give me Bob at his peak, maybe I take big game Bob. I'm saying Coach O for sure.
Okay.
I'm taking Coach O today, yes. And I have no reservations about it.
Again, there's no point arguing Stoops because Stoops isn't coaching, but I was just like.
Sounds like you're reeling a bit.
Reeling about what?
You're saying you wouldn't take Bob today?
No, I'm just saying like it's a stupid argument to have because he's not coaching. Like it'd just be me and you saying, well, yes, I would. No, I wouldn't. Like,
right. That's what we do.
I will take Ed Orgeron's last year over almost anybody's. Like that last year was magical, but. I am going to plant my flag in the it was a fluke. Ed Orgeron is still going to go back to being an 8 or 9 win coach at LSU.
You're saying he's Gene Chizik?
No, didn't Gene go 3-9? I don't think they're going to go that bad. Didn't Gene? He went 3-9, right? The year they fired him.
Yeah, I think so.
It's not going to get that bad for LSU. I don't think that's going to happen. But I think that there are some parallels there. I guess with like great coordinator leaves, and then all of a sudden you look around and you know the problems that were there before you hired the great coordinator are still there.
Maybe he'll go hire another great coordinator.
Maybe. Maybe. Although, who's the offensive coordinator this year?
I don't.
Is it just Ensminger this year?
I don't know.
And your place?
I feel like you used to be really. I think you're being a little unfair to Coach O. I think he's a better coach than you give him credit for.
I think they'll win 8 or 9 games.
Maybe in this first year after. I mean, it's hard to go 15-0 and then come back and, you know, this will probably be a little bit of a down year.
I don't think they're ever going 15-0 again.
I'll
say that's not going to happen.
That probably won't happen, but I think they're going to have some 11-win years.
I don't think he's going to win the SEC ever again.
I think
he's. And I don't think he'll. If I had to bet, I would say he doesn't win the West again, but I guess.
He'll win the SEC again, I think. Once.
You can put that
maybe
on the
once,
board.
Maybe once.
We got some NFL breaking news. Contract signing.
Chris Jones.
Yeah,
Chris Jones. Don't care
signed
about Chris Jones. Don't care.
Okay. We signed a 4-year, $85 million contract.
Good for the Chiefs. Many people argued that they were better without Chris Jones even on the field last year. Mm. There's this pressure numbers are better. The run stopping numbers are better. There's some stats out there that say they were actually better with him. But when the game was the biggest, he did ball out in the Super Bowl, and to the point where some people said he maybe should have won MVP of the Super Bowl.
Good.
So, I mean, he did come through big in that game, but even the Chiefs fans I was arguing with last year before the AFC Championship because Chris Jones was going to be out, they're like, oh, we're better without him. So, you know, you keep the guy, 4 years, $85 million. So, I mean, at least they, you know, that was a big part about Mahomes' deal, right? It left some flexibility, but maybe you could have spent that money better if you're the Chiefs. But either way, at least one deal got worked out. One franchise tag deal got worked out before the deadline. But no, Edo is not going to win the SEC again. I feel very confident.
Ever.
He's not winning the SEC again.
What about the West? I feel like if you win the West, you're going to win the SEC.
He is not going to win the SEC. The West, I could be convinced, but if I had to bet right now, I would say no. But again, that's really you're just betting against Alabama. You're really just betting on Alabama, I think, because I don't feel very confident about A&M or Auburn.
No, for sure.
So he might win the West, but he is not going to win the SEC.
Well, I hope someday you see the light on Coach O. I used to be against him, too, but I saw the light.
I'm not against him. He's a fine guy. He seems fun, whatever. Sure, he tried to.
You don't like him.
Sure, he tried to steal all of our recruits.
You hate him.
And all that.
Clearly.
Tried to steal all of our recruits and tell them not to go to class and did all that.
Well, yeah, he wanted to take them with him to his next job.
Yeah, that's fun.
I mean, that's normal.
I have nothing against him. I just, like I said, I'd call my shot, and I would, if you weren't quitting, we could put it on the board that he'll never win the SEC again.
You can still put it on the board. What do you think happens first for Coach O? Heart attack or wins the West?
I won't even say he has a heart attack. They'll just be health concerns.
The guy drinks, like, how many Red Bulls does he drink a day?
I think he switched to the sugar-free.
Well, I hope he's gone sugar-free, but still that much whatever's in that. Creatine? Glycamine? I don't know. One of those words.
I don't know.
Whatever gives creatine, you that. Taurine? Is it taurine? What is in Red Bull that gives you the energy?
Caffeine, isn't it? I thought it was caffeine.
Probably the sugar. Do the sugar-free ones really even work?
I thought was it not caffeine that gives you the?
Yeah, it's probably caffeine.
All right, stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Your pet is an important part of your family.
Contract details are coming out for this deal of Chris Jones. 4 year, $85 million, $60 million in guarantees. So he got paid. $37 million due at signing. 4 year, $80 million deal with $5 million incentives. So basically it's going to be $20 million a year for Chris Jones. That would, I'm going to say it's going to pretty much take them out of major free agency game for the kind of foreseeable future, right?
Yeah, I mean, outside people on their own team and people they draft, yeah.
Right, like, they're going to have to nail the draft. They're going to have to find some bargains or maybe some veterans who want to come play.
Yep, for you know, a shot at a title, yep.
Yep, you're going to have to be that team. And there's always that team in professional sports, right, where you want to try to chase greatness. You want to try to chase a championship. So you'll have some deals where somebody will be like, you know what, I'll take $3 million to come and try to rush the passer.
Exactly, yeah.
I'll come play wide receiver for cheap to try to catch passes from Patrick Mahomes. You saw that with the Miami Heat, right? That's the first time I really remember that really kind of taking off.
Yeah.
Which I guess that's not exactly true because the Gary Payton and Karl Malone both did that with the Lakers at the end of their careers.
Yeah, but that was the first time it was like super noticeable. I guess.
Where you had guys like turning down like money. Like Ray Allen took much less money to leave Boston to go to Miami.
Yeah.
You know, Gary Payton and Karl Malone were both at the end of their careers and trying to go and win a championship. So that was, I guess, the first time I remember seeing that, though, you know, in 2004, I believe the year was. Any thoughts, Cody? Just on anything? Maybe you had something to say?
No.
Okay.
No, not at the moment. I don't really have anything right now.
No worries. I feel like you could have taken that money and spread it out a little bit more if you're the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly like who's up on deck for them to for them to pay. I don't know what type of impending free agents they have. I know they gave Tyreek Hill a contract extension not too long ago, right?
Yeah, so I think he's locked up for at least the next 2-3 years probably.
I guess that was in before the 2019 season. They gave him a 3-year, $54 million extension, so I don't know how many years are left on his contract after that because, you know, extension could also have years already there on top of it. So the core, I guess, there and will kind of be locked in place. And Kelsey's been taken care of as well, right?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. I think they locked him up too. So I think you're right. I think they have their, like, main core pretty locked in and the flexibility, though, that they had with the Mahomes contract, I would say is gone now for sure with this Chris Jones signing.
Well, that's why they did what they did with Patrick Mahomes. Like they, whenever you saw the contract numbers, I mean, everyone else was talking about how he got rich, but I was just like, hey, left some flexibility, left some money on the table, and it's going to help him chase greatness, right? We looked and we said, hey, the way he is going about this is he is going to try to keep this roster somewhat intact. Now, you know, there's going to be moments where you have to make tough decisions just in general as you start paying guys who you draft and, you know, you have to make decisions. Like Sammy Watkins, this is last year, and, you know, they'll be able to get out of his, $15 million, his $60 million off the salary cap. So that'll be fine. That'll feel good next year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether or not that I'm interested, like, what happens with Tyrann Mathieu and how many years he has left, because I do feel like he was a pretty important piece for them last year.
Yeah, he's huge for them.
When you just look at 2021 for the Chiefs, they'll still have Frank Clark, their big pass rusher, who they're going to be paying $6 million on the cap. Tyreek Hill, who they're going to be paying $16 million on the cap. Tyrann Mathieu, who they're going to be paying $20 million.
So they got three defenders over $20 million?
Three defenders over 20, yeah. But you can do that because Patrick Mahomes is still going to be – well, I guess next year he'll go up to $20, $25 million. He'll go up to his fifth-year option.
So that will probably – I mean, that's the Sammy Watkins money right there.
The Sammy Watkins money, yes. Basically, just a lot of it's going to go to Mahomes. Eric Fisher, you got a high-paid tackle that you're giving $15 million as well. The question, I think, comes into 2022. That's whenever you look around, and that's when you'll have to start making some tougher decisions as Mahomes gets his pay increase. I believe Travis Kelce's a free agent. Tyrann Mathieu's a free agent. Fisher's a free agent. That's when you'll start kind of looking and saying, okay, we have to start making some decisions. You know, they can save money by cutting Frank Clark, and who knows, 2 years from now, you probably do that.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill, you can save, I believe, a lot of money by cutting him in 2 years. So, like, that might be the
structure and stuff like that.
Yeah. For the next 2 years, they're good. 2022, I guess, will be the year that you start looking around and saying, okay, now they got to make tough decisions. So the Chiefs, I don't want to say are completely running it back, but a good part of their team that was there last year, going to be back this upcoming year. And I see no reason to say, I mean, obviously the gambling lines have them as the favorite, right? They are the favorite to win the Super Bowl this year. And, you know, without seeing anything crazy happen next year, any injuries or any type of guy, you know, Joe Burrow being the second coming or Baker Mayfield figuring it out with that team in Cleveland or whatever happens in Tampa, I would say you could go ahead and pencil the Chiefs in as the favorite next year in 2021. And if not the favorite, one of the top two or three. Agree? Disagree, Cody?
I would agree.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's nobody that we've talked about them being the team of the future. So, like, they're going to be right there where the Patriots have been the last decade of one of the four or five best odds in the league to win the Super Bowl.
They should be right there for the next 5 years at least.
I guess right now them and Baltimore are pretty neck and neck on who the favorites are, but I think the Chiefs have a slight edge.
Chiefs are probably slightly better. They got more weapons.
Yep.
Better team overall.
I mean, we talked about those offense rankings yesterday, and they had the Ravens all the way down to, what, 20th in terms
of weapons. No weapons.
Could Antonio Brown switch this at all? Because, I mean, Baltimore was a team that he was linked to. If the Ravens got Antonio Brown, would that change your mind at all?
Probably not. I don't think he's ever going to come back in the league. I mean, if he does, it's just going to be a short-lived.
Has he hit Josh Gordon? Has he hit Josh Gordon territory? You're like, team signs him. Okay, cool. Well, he'll be gone in like a month.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's the new Josh Gordon. What is Josh Gordon doing now? Is he anywhere?
Josh Gordon is trying to get back on a team, and he is reinstated. And the good news for Josh Gordon is, like, the NFL's not testing for weed anymore, not punishing for weed anymore. So, like, if he gets back in, he should be good to go.
Tampa Bay number three receiver could be the
good. I would hate that.
We'll see what type of relationship him and Brady actually had. Yeah, I mean, I feel like Josh Gordon moved on from the Patriots and then became boys with Russell Wilson.
Well, Russell Wilson could use a weapon. Who has better weapons? You think Seattle's weapons are better than the Ravens?
Yeah. Nah. Who are the Ravens receivers? I mean, I know they got Hollywood Brown and they got Sneed's
out there.
Sneed.
Marquise Goodwin.
No. Oh, yeah, they traded for him, didn't they? Did they trade for Goodwin?
No, he went to the Eagles.
The Eagles.
No, I'm thinking of Marquise.
Brown.
Brown.
Hollywood. Oh, that's Hollywood Brown.
Yeah.
I knew they had a guy called Marquise.
Man, I used to know this.
They traded one of their tight ends. They got J.K. Dobbins, right? So, I mean,
they drafted the receiver at SMU, I remember.
Miles
Boykin's on there.
I'm not going to say yes or no on that, Cody, because it's one of those situations where I feel like Seattle's weapons just look better because of Russell Wilson. Like, those small receivers look pretty good when they're catching from Russell. But would they look good if you drop them in somewhere else? Like, if Tom Brady was back there, would all of a sudden you look and say, this looks a lot like New England's receivers that weren't good enough the last couple of years? Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, what would happen if you just switched Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson? I wonder what that would look like.
I would say that
Baltimore would be better.
I would say, yeah, Baltimore would win that exchange just because I have more confidence in Harbaugh. Although Pete Carroll does like running the ball, so maybe he would just have Lamar out there.
Have Lamar out there just
running like a power a power wing.
Yeah, it could work.
Could be worse. Is there any moves left that will change anything, I guess, as we get set? You know, we're a month and a half away from the NFL season, which seems crazy.
I guess Clowney's the only really – I mean, there's actually a lot of pass rushers still on the market.
A lot of pass rushers. I believe Logan Ryan's still out there too. Yeah. I mean, he's a starting-level corner, but I don't know if any of those guys are enough to switch the favorites, although I will say if Clowney goes somewhere like Philadelphia.
Yeah, it'd help
which
their odds.
There was a rumor that Philadelphia's got a big move coming in this week, I believe on Wednesday. So, like, if that was – Clowney agreeing to go to Philadelphia, I would say that would maybe flip that back in their favor in terms of versus the Cowboys. Yeah. Maybe.
I mean, I think the only thing you're really waiting on now is trades.
I would say Jamal Adams being on the market. Yeah. If someone was able to go out and trade for him, if he went to a contender, he could put them over the edge.
That guy from Jacksonville.
Yeah, Yannick Ngakoue. He was. Yeah. They said today that teams are still calling about him. So I guess there are a couple of trades that could get done.
Mm-hmm.
I do think Antonio Brown, if he signed with a team, though, could make them a lot better.
Oh, yeah, for sure. If you can keep him on the field, absolutely.
And that will, like I said, that will always be the issue of whether or not he could stay on the field.
Yeah.
I would think it would be pretty funny if the Patriots brought him back. We didn't really talk about the move or the news, but the Patriots did uncover another $7 million worth of salary cap They had some grievances go their way from Antonio Brown and Aaron Hernandez's contracts, where they got rewarded an extra $7.5 million of salary cap space to use this year. So they could absorb, they could absorb somebody in a trade, or I guess go out and sign. I don't know. Like I said, I guess they could find a pass rusher, paying Everson Griffin.
Yep.
What if they somehow worked the deal for Clowney and made it incentive laden? And then also, if I'm Cam Newton, I'd be like, man, I wish I would have gotten known they had another $7.5 million laying around. I might could have got a couple more mil out of them. Mm. So I would say there are a couple of names that could move teams from fringe contender to real contender, but I don't know if there's anything out there that could really move anybody ahead of the Chiefs.
No, yeah, no way. You'd have to sign, like, all the free agents.
Yeah, like, if the Ravens don't have the money, but they came, like, with Brown and Clowney.
Yeah.
I'd be like, okay, that's good. But, yeah, I don't know what the scariest setup would be there that would make me think that the Chiefs weren't the best team in the league. Maybe if the 49ers went out and got a real receiver. Maybe if they got Antonio Brown.
Yeah, they have a shot.
Mm. It's crazy to me that he still isn't in the league.
Yeah.
They, like, he's just got kind of cast to the side.
He's good enough to be, but
obviously,
he's just not. I mean, he was the best receiver in the league, you know, for a while.
What a fall. What a fall for him. I mean, this time last year, I mean, I think we all kind of thought he would have a little bit of a slip just because he was going to Oakland.
Yeah.
And was going to, you know, he had the, it was around this time last year, right? Maybe a little bit later where he, like, burned his toe. He got frostbite on his feet.
Yeah.
That was around this time.
Thing, yeah.
And then
I guess that was, like, that was the beginning of August, right? That was, like, right at the beginning of August, because that's when Hard Knocks was coming on. Like, that story came out about him burning his feet.
And it just started a chain of events.
And then it was the helmet.
Mm-hmm.
He just refused to wear the new helmet. And then he was out of the league. It's next thing you know.
From there, yeah.
Then he had that one touchdown catch in New England.
Yeah.
And you're like, man, this isn't fair. Because that was whenever they were beating up on the Dolphins. They were beating up on bad teams. You're like, man, this isn't fair. And then he was out of the league.
Yeah. And then he had the whole thing with his woman.
And then he was
with his woman.
White women. And then he had the whole thing. It's been a bad thing for him since then. But it came unraveled pretty quickly there.
He was the omen of 2020.
He tried to warn us what was coming. He lived his 2020 in about a span of a month and a half and just said, this is coming for everyone else. Hour two in the books. We'll kick it off with headlines. We got Tuesday Trivia. Let's talk sports. It's Fan Run Radio. All right, Tuesday Trivia. Let's do it. 1 through 26.
Yep.
1 through 26, okay. I guess this is the last trivia that me and Cody will ever play.
Screens down, phones down.
Oh,
please shut up.
26 questions, huh?
26 questions.
One more time.
For old time's sake.
Take it to the limit. One more time. I'm ready. I hope you're ready.
Shut up.
Because I'm ready.
I hope you're both ready.
Oh, really? Sounds like Cam's got some hard questions.
You want to go first or second?
First.
All right. Well, all right. Pick your poison.
We ready?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let's screw. You going to pick a number?
I'm going to go with question number 6.
Question number 6. All right.
Jermaine Copeland.
Of active NFL players, who was Martin the first Martin. Non-quarterback to appear on the NFL's list of highest earners for their career?
Could you repeat the question?
Of active NFL players, who was the first non-quarterback to appear on the NFL's list of highest earners for their career?
Julio Jones?
Is incorrect. It was Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's old. Should have known. I knew it was a receiver.
Give me number 8, please.
Number 8.
Birthday.
Hematology is a branch of medicine involving the study of what?
Blood.
That is correct.
Mm.
He laughed like I wasn't going to get that.
Ouch. Number 7.
Ouch, got hurt.
Who came up with the theory of evolution?
Charles Darwin.
That is correct.
Okay. I didn't want to. Like, it seemed very it seemed easy. I didn't want to.
Yeah, it was incredibly easy. Number 17, please.
17. What is the first letter on a typewriter?
So, you mean like at the top?
Yep.
Of the thing, like the first in the lineup there?
Yep.
So the top row, and they even have rows? Okay, so. I'm going to go with Q.
That is correct.
Well, just like a keyboard.
Similar to our modern keyboards.
Yeah. Yeah.
Clearly. All righty. So you're up 2-1 through two.
That is correct.
2-1 through two. Question four.
Question four. All right. Ian McKellen, Robert Downey Jr., and Benedict Cumberbatch have all played what British character?
Ian McKellen, Robert Downey Jr., and Benedict Cumberbatch
yep.
have all played what British character?
Yep.
You know it. Ah, boy, this is tough. This sure is tough right here.
You waiting for somebody to come to the window and tell you the answer like last week?
No, 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 no. It wouldn't be Winston Churchill. None of those guys are pudgy enough
10 seconds.
To have played Churchill. British character?
Five seconds.
It like a fictitious character?
4 seconds.
King Louis.
I found that rather elementary.
That's incorrect.
It's Sherlock Holmes, right?
Yeah, it was Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, I forgot about Sherlock Holmes.
Give me number 24.
All right. Number 24. What is the only U.S. state to grow coffee beans?
To grow coffee beans?
Yep.
The best part of waking up. Soldiers in your cup. I'm just going to go with Florida.
That is incorrect.
Is it Hawaii?
It's Washington.
It is Hawaii.
Idiot.
Damn it.
No, it wasn't Washington.
Damn it.
I was thinking about Seattle coffee.
I don't know why I switched to Florida. Hawaii was what I had in mind. All right.
So through three, still 2-1.
Yep.
Damn it.
All right. Give me question 21.
21.
Damn it.
All right, what Nashville venue was Taylor Swift discovered at? This is your future city.
The Ryman Auditorium?
Is incorrect.
Is it the Songbird?
Bluebird.
Bluebird. Damn it. Oh,
yeah. The Bluebird Cafe.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking Songbird Cafe, Bluebird
Jesus.
Cafe.
Boy, I'm struggling here.
I'll go with number 20.
All right, number 20. The building blocks of life, what does the acronym DNA stand for?
God damn, I thought you were going to ask what it was. I don't have a clue what DNA stands for. Nope, I got nothing.
It's, you're not going
to... I don't have anything.
Is it...
Is it the first one, D-U-O? No, I mean, it's just...
Deoxynucleic acid or something like that?
Deoxyribonucleic acid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, tie game.
You got it wrong. You didn't steal. I stole the Sherlock Holmes, but...
I feel like I've gotten a couple of half points. All right, so it's still 2-1 through four now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Jesus. What question did you get, sir? Oh, boy. I'll probably hit it right on the head. I'm going to go with number three.
All right, number three.
That's one I guessed.
Pablo Picasso is known for his work using what style of art?
Well, I know it's painting.
correct. That is correct.
Oh, what are the different... Oh. What style of art?
Damn, I wish I would have guessed Hawaii. That was what I thought. Because like, that's the closest climate to...
Yep.
Ah, damn it.
I like his massage of the temple to get the answer.
There's the word. I know the word. Mm. It's not coming to me.
You gonna guess?
Yeah, eventually. If I don't, I lose. Yeah. If I get it wrong, so.
Yeah, no pressure. Would be really terrible to lose your last one and go out as a loser. Be really terrible. I'd feel really bad for you.
Shut up.
Because you lose the belt and then you get kicked out of the Federation Loserly's Town match.
We still got two more games to play this week.
I'd be the undisputed trivia champion. Could get a time limit on this.
Hold on. Picasso. Picasso was known for his.
10 seconds.
Can you repeat the question?
Pablo Picasso is known for his work using what art style?
5 seconds.
Stop. There's no time limit.
There is. 3, 2, 1.
Renaissance.
This is incorrect.
Is it impressionalism?
That's also incorrect.
What was the word?
Cubism.
Oh, I wouldn't have got that. I don't feel so bad now. Mm. That's hard.
Wow.
That's why they're all like blocky pictures.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. What a terrible performance from Cody. I'll go with number 19. Just see if I can put an extra point lead in here, I guess.
In Game of Thrones, what are the names of Daenerys' 3 dragons?
What an elementary question.
Drogon, Rhaegon, and Jacaerys? No, Jacaerys is burn. Jacaerys is to burn. You're laughing at.
It's Viserys, idiot. Or Viseron. Something like that.
One of the two.
It's Drogon, Viseron, and Rhaegal.
So we both...
Rhaegal.
Rhaegal, not good. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you missed it too? That's tough.
Yeah.
It's an elementary. Yeah.
No, I mean, I pretty much had it.
You missed it too.
I mean, it's a letter off. A letter
sure,
off.
You missed it too. After laughing and claiming that it was so easy, you missed it too.
I mean, I knew the basis of the three that you didn't
missed,
know.
You missed it, and you lost, and you go out as a loser in trivia.
Yeah. Well, congrats on your third win in the last 15 weeks of trivia.
Second win in the last 3 weeks. I'm trending upwards.
Yeah, good job.
Second win in the last 3 weeks. Last trivia we ever played together, I won.
Congrats, on your third week in like 15
Cam,
weeks.
Cam, do you like how I said it was rather elementary?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I found that rather elementary. Got him. Even got a good steal out of it, too. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Hey, it's Jamie with... Bring the show full circle. Shout out to King Henry VIII. The only reason I knew that blood question. What was it, Cam?
Hematology.
Hematology? Yeah. The first time I ever heard of a hemophiliac was King Henry VIII's son. Mm. He had always wanted a male heir to the throne. Finally got one, and he was a hemophiliac and bled out.
Was
a free bleeder. That's how you bring a show full circle, Cody. It was my Slumdog Millionaire moment. I remember sitting in history class, and it clicked, and that's why I was like, blood. Boom, got it.
Yeah. Yeah, good ended job
up,
by you.
Ended up being the game winner.
You
and
got
the
it.
Championship winner. Wow. It was like my Sweet Chin music right to your stupid skull.
Yeah, you got two questions right. It's really good.
Got the one steal, too.
I mean, I got a steal, too.
No, you didn't.
I got the DNA question.
No, you didn't.
What was DNA again?
Deoxyribonucleic acid.
You forgot the ribo. Okay. You forgot that.
I mean, I knew what it was, though.
You were close. You were close. You did not get it, but you were
and
close.
And I got the dragons.
No, again, close, but missed that one, too.
Well, those together count for at least one. So.
So then my Sherlock Holmes one counts for one, and it's still a win. So
yeah. I didn't say I won.
You got one question right. That was a terrible performance on your way out.
Well, congrats on finishing all-time trivia against me 3-12.
As the champ.
3-12.
As the champ. Two out of the last three, and the last one.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really what matters.
Yeah, you're 3-12.
This is the one people are going to remember.
This is the one people are going to remember. 2-1 in the last 3 weeks, and then most importantly, the biggest showdown. You
we didn't really bill it as a big showdown, but if
I said it was for the last time ever.
I mean, if Kentucky was 3-12 against Alabama,
then
I don't
beat them
think
in the SEC championship.
I don't think anyone. We didn't define this as a championship round.
Yeah, I did.
No,
so it was
no
last
we didn't.
One for the championship.
We didn't say anything about a championship on the line.
Every time the championship's on the line. Every time. Yeah. Every time.
I don't know about all that.
Yeah, every time I say, hold the belt. Wrestling rules. You got pinned in the middle of the ring. 1, 2, 3. And you get no rematch.
Just because you call it wrestling rules doesn't mean I call it wrestling rules.
Well, I mean,
you can just say anything.
That's correct, and I'm going to. And I'm got the belt right here. I'm gonna put it against the wall. Gonna tape it to the wall.
Stop
later.
Vandalizing the property.
Gonna tape it to the wall. And I look forward to it. And it felt good.
Where's your belt?
It's gotta get my nameplate switched onto it. It had your nameplate on it. I gotta get my nameplate.
I don't
see
your belt anywhere.
Well, I know. I just said I was getting the nameplate switched on it.
No.
Duh. Just said that.
Didn't you win last week?
No, you won last week.
Hmm.
I won the week before that.
Ah, I see.
Yeah.
It's a lot of nameplate switching.
I know. It was a good back and forth, but now it's the rivalry is officially over. The rubber match of the last 3 weeks is now officially over 2-1. You see how that works?
No, I like to look at the whole record.
Mm.
And you're like 3-12.
2-1 is what I'm going to focus on.
I'm sure you will.
2-1 is what I'm going to focus on.
Can we move on?
Yeah. What do you got for us?
No, oh, I don't have anything. I figured you did.
I was just going to talk more about the trivia. But you said you wanted to move on, so.
Lamar Jackson says he wants to be paid like Patrick Mahomes.
I too want to be paid like Patrick Mahomes. Can I get some of that money, too? Lamar actually came out and said that, though?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. What does that mean? What does something like that mean?
Jackson on Mahomes' deal. I got to get what he has.
That's a little bit different.
Super Bowl?
you need the Super Bowl. And if you're Lamar Jackson, even if you get the Super Bowl, you might not get paid like Patrick Mahomes did, because I don't think you're ever going to get paid like Patrick Mahomes did, simply because I don't trust to give you 10 years. And, you know, we kind of talked about that. I don't think there's anybody in the NFL outside of Patrick Mahomes you trust to give 10 years to right now.
He said, I got to win me a Super Bowl. I got to get what he has.
That's a good mindset, then. That's a little bit different than how you first said it, of wanting to get paid like Mahomes. But if he's saying I need to accomplish what Mahomes has accomplished and then I'll get paid, then I think that's a good sign if you are Baltimore, right? You want to see him striving for a Super Bowl. I would simply say, hey, let's maybe start with a playoff win. Let's start there if you're Lamar Jackson. Let's get one win in the playoffs.
He also says that he deserves the $500 million.
I don't know if I'd go that far yet, because, again, you don't have the Super Bowl.
Well, no, he's saying Mahomes. He's talking about Mahomes.
Oh, yeah, Mahomes deserves the money. No doubt about it. I would, I made the argument that he deserves more than money. He needs more than that. We talked about Chris Jones getting paid. ESPN had breached their ranking of interior defensive linemen, and he did come in at number two.
Chris Jones did?
Chris Jones came in number two as the second highest rated interior defensive lineman in the league.
Hmm.
He barely edged out Fletcher Cox. Number one, obviously, Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald received every vote cast for him was for number one.
Jeez, makes sense.
That's highest ranking, number one. Lowest ranking, number one.
That's impressive. First time we've seen that so far.
He is the only player. Yep. He's the only player to earn a clean sweep. Best player in football. Was double-teamed 295 snaps last year and still had 12.5 sacks, which is the most among defensive tackles. since 2017. He's had 302 total pressures, which is more than 58 more than the next player closest to him. So, like, Aaron Donald has been the man for going on 3 years, and he is still the man. DeForest Buckner and J.J. Watt round out the top five, which I don't really consider J.J. Watt as an interior defensive lineman. Do you?
No, not at all. But
I mean, I guess with Clowney there, he did.
I guess
play
in the 3-4 though. Yeah.
I guess he could be listed as that, but I still picture him as more of a pass rusher. But either way.
Grady Jarrett disrespect.
Patrick Mahomes, half a billion. Lamar Jackson chasing that.
Going to be hard to get there.
We build that as a rivalry between those two? Like, do we think that will be a long-term thing? Like, do you think Lamar has that staying power? Or do you think it'll be somewhere? Like, do you think Lamar has enough staying power to be considered a rival? Because it's one thing for Lamar to be great. But it's another for him to be on that level of Mahomes, right? And, like, Lamar can still be a top five quarterback, a top three quarterback, but still feel like there's a big gulf the size of the Grand Canyon in between him and Mahomes.
He might be a Sharapova to Serena.
Right, and that's type, you know, that was never a rivalry, really. Like, I mean,
it might get billed as the rivalry.
But everyone knew who watched the sports that, like, it was laughable to call it that. And, like, you know, Lamar is 0-2 head-to-head against Mahomes, right? Mm-hmm. They've played twice. And he's lost both times. And again, he hasn't accomplished anything from a team perspective, success perspective, that Mahomes has yet. Now, he does have the MVP, but he's going to have to win a Super Bowl, or at least make a Super Bowl, or beat Mahomes in the playoffs before it feels like a thing. Do you think he can get it there?
I think, I mean, Lamar's going to have to beat Mahomes a couple times when it matters, you know. He's going to have to win an AFC championship. Keep the Chiefs out of the Super Bowl, you know?
Yeah.
Win an AFC championship or two to really build it as a rivalry.
In the AFC, are there any quarterbacks? Like, I mean, it doesn't seem like there's anybody in the whole entire NFL, but if there was, I feel like they would all be in the NFC who could lay a claim to being a rival to Mahomes, like Brady and Rodgers, maybe.
Yeah.
Just Rodgers in the sense of most talented quarterback we've seen. Because, I mean, he had that claim for a while, and then, you know, Mahomes has ripped it out of his hands. Russell, in terms of being, you know, the top two quarterbacks in the league, it doesn't seem like, you know, Brady, obviously, we've talked about with the Super Bowls and beating him head-to-head in the AFC Championship. It doesn't seem like any of those guys are in the NFC right now. Or, excuse me, it doesn't seem like they're on the AFC right now.
Lamar is the only one that can have a future, like, big rivalry against him. Unless you see, like, Tua or Burrow emerge eventually.
Maybe it's one of those two guys.
Maybe if Baker somehow flipped the switch and...
So you think everyone there is in, you know... I mean, because Lamar, same class as Baker.
Yeah.
You know, Lamar probably... I mean, Lamar's younger than Joe Burrow. Oh, so, I mean, like, sure, age-wise, that it would be that generation. But, yeah, Tua maybe. So, none, like, all the older guys in the AFC about to cycle out, right? And Deshaun Watson doesn't feel like he can get to that level.
He doesn't have a good enough team.
And I don't think he's good enough individually, and I don't think he has a good enough team. Like, no skill position players. Like,
yeah.
Deshaun's going to, like, slowly fade out of that top five discussion, in my opinion, and more back to the 8, 9, 10 range, just with the lack of talent around him and the coaching and the team.
And I think for it to be a real rival, you got to have it be in your division, you know, because you're going to play more often. Whereas if you'd have to meet up for multiple Super Bowls for to have a rivalry in the other conference.
I mean, you could meet up in the playoffs or even just meet up with greatness. And, like, you might not be playing head-to-head, but you're taking turns. Because, I mean, like, I think everyone would consider Brady Manning a rivalry, and they were not in the same division.
That's not what I meant. I meant conference. That's what I meant to say. Yeah. Like, I don't think you're right. If you're an AFC quarterback, I don't think your rival can be in the NFC.
It'd be tough.
I meant you got to be in the same conference as them.
I was going to say division seems a little like you're asking a little too much.
No, yeah. I meant like Brady Manning or, you know, to have one of those.
Sure.
Yeah. You got to be able to meet for an AFC championship.
So Lamar or someone else, who's more likely to be that number two? Someone else?
I'm going to say Lamar right now.
Well, yeah, I'm talking about if we're looking from 2 years from now.
I'm going to stick with Lamar.
Okay. Cam?
I'm going to go somebody else because I don't know if I trust Lamar to stay healthy. Because I think a big part of him being this good is, of course, his running ability. And I don't think if he gets injured from doing that, like at the same clip he's been doing it now, I mean, that takes him out of the running.
I just don't think 2 years is enough for a guy like Burrow or Tua to have.
Yeah, maybe 2 years wasn't enough of a time because, yeah, I don't think, like you said, the Dolphins or Bengals are going to.
The Bengals are not going to be good for a
while. They're
not
going to be winning enough to stop them.
Right.
Maybe it's more of a five-year conversation.
Yeah, 5 years. 5 years, I'll take somebody else.
That's fair.
If he has a rival, you know.
Yeah, he might just be peerless when it comes to the AFC. There might not be a rival. Might not be one of the entire NFL.
Hard to say what it'll look like in 5 years.
It's gonna be a lot different.
I mean, it's been a while since you could make the claim that someone is the unquestioned best quarterback in the NFL. It's been a while since you could make that claim because I mean, like, Brady never really had that in the mid 2000s or the 20s, 2000 through 2010. Like, he never really had that just because Manning was always there, and Manning never really had it because Brady was always there and winning, right? And then Rodgers. Yep. And Breeze, you know, you had people that would side with them. But right now it does seem like Mahomes clearly has that claim and that there's no one really that you could make an argument for right now in 2020 for being better than him.
Yeah, it's his throne right now. And I don't see anybody taking it from him, at least not in the near future.
Yeah. He does have a huge lead on everybody else. Cause, I mean, you think about, like, Russell Wilson is right there, but he's getting older, so he's not going to – I wouldn't say he's going to improve to catch up enough. And
yeah, I mean, I think just if you look at the actual just quarterback play, I would say Russell has a decent chance of being as good. I mean, I don't think the gap is too wide between those two when it comes just to actual talent on the field, but, like, when it comes to what their offense is going to do and how much I think their teams are going to win, I do feel like that is going to continue to widen in Kansas City's favor. But, like, I do think if you dropped Russell Wilson into Kansas City with Andy Reid and you put Patrick Mahomes in Seattle, like, I think people would appreciate Russell Wilson a hell of a lot more.
Yeah, I agree for sure, yeah.
Like, if you gave him Tyreek Hill and you gave him Travis Kelce and you gave him a coach who knows how to handle quarterbacks, I do think that you would look and say, it's not as wide of a gap in terms of who's the most talented or who's the best. Maybe not most talented because Mahomes' arm strength is, you know,
unmatched.
Yeah, unmatched. But in terms of ways to play quarterback, I would say Wilson would look a hell of a lot better with Andy Reid.
Yeah.
And away from Pete Carroll. Which is what makes what Kansas City has right now so unfair because you do have, I think, the best offensive coach and the best, most talented quarterback.
The best player.
Yeah, it does seem a little unfair.
When you got the best player and the best coach, it's a pretty good combination.
Yeah. Whether or not you, like I said, whether or not you would have called Brady the best player is one thing, but that combo, obviously.
It worked for a lot of years.
Won a lot of championships, same way with, like, Popovich and Tim Duncan. Like, when you're able to pay, you know, Phil Jackson, Michael Jordan, Phil Jackson, Shaq and Kobe. Like, when you're able to match top-end talent with top-end players, usually that leads to a lot of success.
Yeah.
Usually. Last call on the other side is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.